Hey everybody, good morning. It is Wednesday, April 24th. Welcome to the Plant-Based Morning Show, where for the second day in a row, we're talking about demise of plant-based meat. More just dumping on plant-based meat. Things that are bad. Is it low in protein? The six type of people who avoid it, which includes even some people who are supporters of it, who won't order it when they're out. So we'll get into that in a bit. Doug, in the meantime, how are you doing today?
Matt, I'm doing well. I've not had any plant-based meat in a little while. Although we did have some for brunch the other day, some sausages, but we've been working through a whole bunch of lentils recently. The humble lentil have been making a strong appearance in my house over the past several days.
Good. I like that. Teach everyone a little humility. It's good. Good for the children.
That's right. How about you, Matt? What are you up to?
Well, we're mostly have been avoiding plant-based meat as well. Oh, you know what? We ate some tofurkey sausage on, it might have been Saturday night when we made a little pasta thing because that was all we had.
Yeah.
It's okay. I don't mind that one too much. I'm just kind of sick of it, honestly. But yeah, just kind of staying away from those things recently. I've had a little bit of a well, waking up where I'm just less interested in the fake vegan stuff because there's a lot of it and it creeps into our lives in many ways. Now it's the fake vegan mayo seems to be in a bunch of stuff that we're eating. You know, salads, make little aioli sauce for those banh mi sandwiches we make. And it just shows up everywhere. Fake stuff. Do not like the fake stuff.
Do you think that fake vegan mayo is any faker than non-vegan mayo?
Well, I mean, yeah, non-vegan mayo would have eggs and olive oil. And you can get olive oil versions. And I don't consider those things to be fake. You know, I'm sure there's a bunch of preservatives that still make it UPF, ultra-processed food. I haven't looked at a jar of mayonnaise in a long time, so I don't know. But
vegan mayo like just oil, basically? I mean, what's fake in it?
I don't know. Maybe that's the problem. We have no idea. It's just vegan mayo. Yeah. We don't know what it's made of. I mean, I guess if they use lentil stuff or chickpea flour or something, you know, that'd be good. Like, I mean, they gotta put protein in there somehow if they're making it. Well, maybe they don't. But I mean, egg has protein, and that's part of mayo, so. I would assume if you're trying to replicate that, you put some sort of protein thing in there, but I don't know.
Yeah, so looking at the Hellman's. Mm-hmm. it's just soybean oil, water, sugar, distilled vinegar, salt, and then a little bit of starch, less than 2% starch, lemon juice, natural flavor. So, I mean,
yeah,
like I don't know if I'd call that fake. I mean, obviously it's like it mimics the real thing, but it's basically just oil and water.
Yeah, I'm looking at Veganaise. Oil, it says expeller pressed high oleic sunflower oil, filtered water, brown rice syrup, apple cider vinegar, pea protein, sea salt, mustard flour, lemon juice concentrate. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know if you can, I mean, it's still fake. It's still, I mean, this one, brown rice syrup, pea protein. These aren't things you can just look at and eat. They're ingredients that are processed for food making. So yeah, I'm calling that.
Fake. I don't know. That just feels so different than like the fake meat. I don't know. It feels different to me for some reason.
I mean, it's the same basic ingredients as that. Pea protein and oil is what makes up most fake meat as well.
Yeah.
Different order, I guess, more oil in this case. Anyway, who knows?
So, all right, so check this out. This is the regular mayo, the real mayo from Hellman's as well.
Mm-hmm.
Soybean oil is the number one ingredient, water. So the first two ingredients are the same.
Yep.
And you have whole eggs, distilled vinegar, egg yolks, salt, sugar, lemon juice, concentrate, calcium, it's not very much different.
No, it's not very much. But if you were to make your own at home or you buy some version that's good, I think you'd have only olive oil and eggs in there. Maybe some salt or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, ultra processed food, not good, whether it's plant-based or not. But I do think it's easy as plant-based eaters to start eating it and think we're just eating good vegan substitutes of things. Anyway, I don't know. I heard a Taylor Swift song today. At least I think it was Taylor Swift on a podcast or a Twitter Spaces I was listening to. And I thought it was kind of a catchy song. Not catchy. It was a good song. And then I remembered that I meant to ask you about this. Apparently a new Taylor Swift album dropped with like 30 tracks on it and people don't like it in general. in general, the word is, I heard the lyrics sound like they were written by AI, and someone else said 30 songs, no hits. That's all. It's only two independent reviews I saw of it. And then I thought, no one has mentioned it. We have all these supposed Taylor Swifties or whatever in this audience, and you and Steven.
Mm-hmm.
Hush, hush. No mention.
Yeah, I don't know, but I haven't spent much time with it. You know, there's the like main.
Why haven't you done that? You're a Swiftie. I mean, it came out a week ago. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I've spent some time with it. what's the main one that she released? Fortnite, I think. Is what it's called.
AI wrote that.
And it's good. Post Malone's on there with her. I thought it was good. I was really proud of my daughter. We listened to it the first morning that it came out. It came out at like midnight or something. We listened to it on the way to school the next day. And and she was like, this sounds like the Seasons Change and I'm Running and so, the other Post Malone song. And sure enough, it was him. He was on it. I didn't realize it until I went home and looked at it. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's all love songs and heartbreak songs, and there hasn't been one that has totally caught my attention. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. But you know, every album doesn't have to be for everybody.
No, I thought about that. Taylor Swift, maybe she's at a point where she doesn't care anymore about commercial success. I mean, maybe she does. Maybe it's a lot to give up. You have a chance to just keep piling on billions. But maybe she's at a point where she doesn't need to do that. She just writes songs that she feels like writing that are good to her. And that could be good.
What I've seen a lot of is all the hidden stuff that's in there, which, you know, she's known for kind of hiding, you know, messages and stuff in there. But, you know, she has some beef with Kim Kardashian back from the Kanye Kim days. And she talks about that in there. And I don't know. I can't really, I'm not going to give it a review yet because I haven't listened to more than like three or four songs. But it is a lot of music. I mean, it is a lot of music to be dropping. 30 songs.
Right. All right. Good. Well, I really don't have much opinion, but I thought the song I heard sounded okay. Didn't mind it. Of course, I don't even know if it's from the new album. It just sounded like kind of modernized Taylor Swift song. So I assumed it was new. Didn't sound country twangy or anything like that. So I placed it in the modern genre of Taylor Swift, modern era. All right.
Is your daughter a Swiftie?
No, neither kid really is. I mean, they know some of the hits, but not really. We have a Fun Times country mix. She's got a couple on there that they like, but those are old Taylor Swift. So no, I wouldn't say they're Swifties.
Okay.
There you go. All right. Any update on the NPR situation, Doug? Have they written back to you as a card carrier?
No, they have not. I'm starting to get a little concerned that they might not be giving it to me because I really want this because I want to prove to you that I wasn't totally an idiot. Especially after yesterday's dig, but I'm gullible. Believe anything I see.
Yeah. Are you going to pull your support for them possibly?
No. I get way too much from NPR to pull my $5 monthly support.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, glad to hear that. Good morning to people who have checked in. Carmen, Kate, Sarah Slam, Gregory Green, who says the biggest problem with fake meat is high sodium for him. And then later says, I find Taylor Swift incredibly fake. So a couple, not, you know, she might be thrown out with the other fake things that we're recently against. Garuda is here. Gregory Green. Oh, I already said Gregory Green. Leslie Knight. Asked if we're talking about Taylor Swift. Yes, we sure were. She was watching one of her videos, and that's why she was late.
There you go.
Taborlin P99. I don't know that name, I don't think. So welcome if you're new. Heard one on the radio, seemed all right. Matt O'Connor and Anne-Marie are all here saying hi. Okay. I don't have too much else updates. Not too much. We ate pizza last night again, kind of the standard Tuesday night thing for us. Thought I had something, but no, nothing much. What else? Anything else? Should we jump into the weather report?
I think we jump in. Let's do it.
Okay.
Got a good one today. Once again, you haven't teased what we're talking about. Oh, you did. You did.
Fake meat. I did. Yeah. Okay. More fake meat. I hope we find fake meat stuff for tomorrow that allows us to have 3 days in a row of just like negative fake meat stuff. Just when we thought it was coming back, we just dash all hopes of that. All right, here we go. Speaking of fake meat, Unli Meat. Never heard of that brand. UNLIMEAT. South Korean plant-based meat producer. They've partnered with Starbucks Hong Kong, and the Unli Meat pulled pork wrap is there now. So that's kind of cool. It has fresh vegetables, carrot, red cabbage, lettuce. I mean, that's a fake meat product I would actually really like to get and try. Starbucks is apparently has been actively incorporating these items into their offerings, and they're aligning with the value consumption movement, whatever that is. You know what that is, Doug? As a one of those kind of guys?
No, I do not.
Sustainability guy? No. But here's what's weird. Here's what one of the people in the company says. Our pulled pork has been our most popular product in the United States. This is the pulled pork company, Unli Meat. So we're so excited to introduce the product to Hong Kong people through Starbucks. So, like, I mean, why haven't we heard of this in the United States? If it's been incredibly popular here.
I don't know. Good question.
Maybe
they're small and it's just been the most popular, but it's just very small still.
Right. That is possible. And is Korea a place you would do a pulled pork wrap? Like, is it Korean barbecue.
Well, I don't know about pulled pork, but you think of Korean barbecue a lot, you know, which I'm sure is pork.
Right.
So yeah, why not? I mean, this actually sounds great. Like you said, a vegan pulled pork would be something I would order without a doubt.
Yeah, with like different pickled vegetables and cabbage and things in there. Like that stuff makes a bad fake meat thing turn into a decent one. Or I shouldn't say bad, a decent one turn into a really good one. And the nutrition too, like you feel like you're not just eating something that is a bunch of fake meat. You get all these different vegetables and things, and then it feels like this is, you know, the meat can be a just a part of that instead of the whole thing. And I'm in favor of that.
Yeah.
All right, Unli Meat's website. I do think we've said their name now that I think about it, because I think it's supposed to be like Unlimit, but it's Unli
Meat. Oh yeah.
They make a pulled. Well, no, these are just recipes, I guess. They've got a bunch of products: Korean barbecue, pulled pork. I wish I could find where these things were, where you can get them.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't see. It looks like you can order from the website. They've got jerkies as well. Anyway, I'd give this a try. Don't know what it's made out of. And I guess I'm realizing something, perhaps. These fake meats sound so unappetizing to me recently, but maybe it's just because, like, it's just kind of the same ones all the time, and they're boring. And, like, if you give me something a little different and has some different flavors on it, maybe belongs in a different type of dish, not just a Beyond Burger on a bun, you know, then it can be interesting again, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Okay. Good.
So yeah, okay. All right. Good. Moving on.
All right. Plant-based dog food and cat food always makes a stir. People get upset when it is suggested that their animals might be able to eat omnivorous diets, or sorry, eat plant-based diets, suggesting that they are omnivores, not obligate carnivores. In this case, the longest, most comprehensive peer-reviewed study so far has shown that dogs, if they're fed nutritionally sound vegan diets, and in this case it was V-Dog dog food, although not sponsored by that company, this research, it helps the dogs maintain health outcomes as well as dogs that are fed meat. So that's kind of a cool thing. They looked at only 15 dogs here, which I'm surprised that's the most comprehensive peer-reviewed study, but I guess if the results are consistent, then 15 is enough to say this is good. I don't know. It was published in PLOS-1. I don't know what kind of journal that is. They looked at blood cells, biochemistry, blood nutrient levels, urine, veterinary clinical parameters, and questionnaires for the pet owners. They were fed solely vegan diets based on pea protein for 1 year. And the article does point out that that's around 7 human years. So they've converted from dog years to human years for us. Very nicely there. Just under one-tenth of an average dog life. So they 10% of their life basically on this certain diet. Sounds like a decent amount of time. I guess maybe not enough to get really long-term effects. But dogs don't live all that long, so a year's not too short. I guess it's like a human being on a 7-year study. All right, they said overweight and obese dogs lost weight. The remainder of them maintained their normal weight. No changes significant in blood or urine. Amino acids and vitamin levels generally maintained. And in a few cases, previous deficiencies from following a meat-based diet either improved or disappeared, including L-taurine, L-carnitine, vitamin D, and folate. So all very interesting stuff. as recently as 10 years ago, it seemed like you really can't feed dogs vegan food unless you're, you know, kind of willing to risk your dog's health. But now it's appearing that's not true. Again, I said this is not studied. They said the study was completed independent of sponsorship from VDog. The Kind kibble and wiggle biscuits were purchased from VDog using research funding. So sounds like independent research. So I'm kind of,
I wish it was a bigger sample size.
Yeah, that would give you some more confidence.
But that's encouraging. It'd be great news for VDog if you worked for VDog right now and a study that you probably didn't know about came out saying right. That your product was good.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Do you know enough about, I don't know enough about dogs. Do you know if the type of dog would matter in this situation? Are all dogs the same?
I really don't, but I would guess that they do. I mean, my guess is that different dogs were domesticated at different periods and therefore have evolved differently. Somewhere in the study, they said it was sort of an early evolution that had the dogs go, you know, from carnivorous, which maybe they were when they were wolves or whatever, just descending from wolves, to omnivorous. So I don't know, who knows, but I would imagine it matters when the dog became domesticated. Cause if you got one that just became domesticated in the past 200 years, there wouldn't be a lot of time for that dog to evolve. So I don't really know, but I would consider this. I don't know about the cost of vegan dog. I was never really seriously considered it, but this would, you know, enough of these things. And then I start actually considering.
Gregory asked a good question. Would you, I guess the question is, would you trust a human sample size of 15?
I don't know, but I'm not like a statistician scientist person who does these studies. Mm-hmm. And if they told me that gave 97% confidence compared to what, you know, 100 people would do, I'd be okay with that. But whatever I do for dogs doesn't have to be the same thing as I would do for humans, right? Like I'm not gonna pay $50,000 for my dog's cancer to be worked on, but I would for a human. So these are different things that we're comparing here. Much as I like animals.
What's the average lifespan of a dog? 10 years?
Just under 10 years, said this. Or maybe it was just over, but 1 year.
I mean, the other question is like, and I don't know. Probably not. I shouldn't ask it. Never mind. Okay. Well, okay. All right. So like, let's say you experimented with the dog food. You said, this is good enough for me. I'm going to now use vegan dog food. It fits my ethics. It does X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And let's say it shortened the dog's life. In the end, it shortened the dog's life by half of a year.
Right.
Right. 3 years. But I mean, you never knew that, of course. You'll never know. But like maybe there are some adverse health effects, but not that's going to kill the dog, you know, immediately or anything like that. So shorten the lifespan slightly. Like, is that a risk you'd be willing to take?
No. No. Any dog that I have is more valuable to me than however many animals are saved by me not eating dogs. Plus, according to your NPR guy, it wouldn't save any animals by reducing our consumption of
products. I mean, that's right. It's true. The meat dog food will just get cheaper and they'll ship it overseas and it'll be fine.
Right. And basic economics laws, the most basic economics laws would be just completely out the window violated, that when demand goes down, you know, eventually it results in fewer sales and lower production. Okay, on to the next thing here.
It's not that the demand goes down, the demand shifts. That's the thing. That's the difference. The demand shifts somewhere else.
No, it's not. That's not right. It's a shock to the demand curve that lowers the overall demand if you eliminate 30% of the people eating that product. Everyone else doesn't demand more of it now. That's not how it works. The price goes down, so they move along their demand curve, but it's different. Moving along the demand curve is different from shifting it. So that's what I would explain to you when you bring that guy back on here.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about it when that happens, when that day comes.
All right. Good. All right. Here we go. Up next, Lindt, the chocolate company, has made a plant-based version of its popular truffles using oat milk. I thought this already happened, but it said this is the second plant-based product from Lindt. They already had non-dairy oat milk bars that came out in 2022. So now they've got these new things, oat milk and dark chocolate oat milk versions of those round truffles. I think they're wrapped in foil. I don't ever eat those things. I don't know who does. Like, do you put them in a bowl and have them at your house, or do you eat it for like your dessert, or you give it out at Halloween? I don't know what you do with that. You big Lindt household, Doug?
No. You know what? My mother-in-law loves these things. So, oh, yeah? I mean, just like having them in a bowl.
She puts them in a bowl at her house?
Mm-hmm. And like pulls them out.
You can't do that with children in the house. They'll just eat it. Right? That works only for adult households.
To have a bowl. Right. I mean, but, you know, she pulls them out after dinner or whatever for a treat.
Nice. Okay. Good. All right. This one you might be more interested in. Boston Beer. That's the Sam Adams Brew Company, I think. They've introduced a line of non-alcoholic brews, but they're not like normal ones that you and I know, Doug. They're less than 0.5% alcohol by volume, so that's good, what we would expect. But they consist of 40% non-alcoholic beer and 60% fruited seltzer. So I guess that makes them kind of like a shandy, but where the other part of the shandy is not just juice, it's carbonated, it's seltzer stuff. And probably has less sugar than juice. So the thing would be sweeter, but I don't really know about that part. I'm just speculating there. They've got four flavors, lemon lime, orange ovation, grapefruit groove, and raspberry remix. And okay, Boston Beer does make Sam Adams and Truly Hard Seltzer. So it's kind of like a combination for people who want to limit their alcohol content intake without sacrificing flavor. And you can get it right now. It's called General Admission. That's the it's a very strange name, but that's could be catchy. Available now in Albany, New York, and Raleigh, North Carolina. So we could go get our hands on some if we really wanted, Doug.
I have ties to both of those places.
Do you?
Wow. Two interesting markets there. This is exciting. And it sounds weird, honestly. Seltzer and beer. Sounds like an odd combo to me. But I'm excited about this. Anything that's kind of innovative in the non-alcoholic beer space is interesting to me.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I like about this, I think, because I do like this. Somehow I could see myself, if I saw this at a party in the summertime, I think I would try it. I mean, yeah. I would definitely be kind of eager to get to the real beer after that, but I'd be curious. Or like if I'm hanging out with the family and we're at the pool.
Yeah.
What I like about it is that it's not trying to be just like beer, because there's something about the non-alcoholic beer that when I have it, I'm always like, this kind of tastes the same. But it just doesn't, it's just not quite the same. Something about it is off. And I don't know if it's the flavor or if it's that I just know it doesn't have alcohol, but it doesn't seem like the same experience to me. It seems like a fake thing, and we don't like fake things. This kind of sounds like a whole different class of drink that's none of these things. So it's just a new drink. Right. It sort of tastes like beer. It sort of tastes like seltzer.
Uh-huh.
It sort of tastes like a shandy, I would imagine. I mean, that seems pretty good. Like a fizzy, kind of sweeter drink, but it's not so sweet. Has a little bit of malty, hoppy flavor, whatever. I don't know. I think this could be good. I'd be eager to try it.
Yeah. I mean, similar to like the hop splash, the hop water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of that because it's not trying to be beer. It's like got the hop flavor or whatever, but it's basically just like a type of seltzer water, I think. I tried the Trail Pass, which is Sierra Nevada's NA beer or one of theirs. Uh-huh. They have a couple the other day, last weekend. And, you know, like you said, it's just, it falls a little flat because it's trying, but it doesn't have the like fullness of a beer. And, and so it just doesn't quite do it for me. And that's been my, my general thought of most of the NA beers that I've had. So, if this is something different and it's not trying to be a beer, then I think that's great. I'm excited about it.
You think plant-based meat manufacturers could learn from this response that you and I are having? You know, we're not the typical, we don't like it. It seems fake. So we don't drink too much NA beer. You think plant-based meat people could say, we're just gonna make a new thing. It's not trying to be meat. It's just a plant-based sustenance and you eat it. And it's sort of meaty, but it's not meant to be like plant-based meat. It's just meant to be a new
meat. I think so. I would try that. Right. Yeah. I don't know what that would look like.
Useful,
hard to imagine what that would look.
I don't know. I guess it would look like a big rectangle and you just chop it up the way you want.
Like tofu.
Put it in stir fries. You could slice it and put it on a sandwich. I'm trying to think of things that you wouldn't do with me that you could do with this. And I can't really think of any.
You'd snack on it?
Like a Slim Jim kind of thing, except that's
But yeah, I mean, still a drink, right? I mean, it's still a drink. It's not creating a whole new thing. It's just trying not to be beer, but also having a little bit of the elements of the beer or being attractive in the same way that a beer is. I don't know. I'm a fan of this and I would definitely buy it if I saw it or try it.
Yeah, me too. All right. Justin Kerner says, I don't know if I'd buy it, but I'd try it somewhere for free. And I like the name. So I think we're in agreement there. Although I actually would buy it. I'd buy it to try it. And he also says NA Corona is so similar to the real OG Corona. I'm not too surprised by that because the NA Heineken, to me, is better tasting than the regular Heineken. I actually really like that. And I don't not normally a Heineken drinker. It still isn't the same, though. It's something like just knowing it's missing the alcohol, it makes it different. So that's why I think this drink, you don't even know what to expect when you drink it. Maybe it could be more enjoyable.
What are they going to make maybe this NA beer more affordable? That's the question. Honestly, the market
price
would be
parity?
No, I mean, it's the same as beer. Like the price parity is there, but you're not getting the alcohol. I mean, I have no idea how much they cost to produce. It could be that they're just as expensive as the real thing. Because you know,
they just make beer and then they take the alcohol out. And then they got to.
Some of them, they do that, right?
That would be more expensive. Unless they can sell that leftover alcohol to some new company.
I don't know how it works, but so who knows? It might not be economically, viable for them to make them cheaper, but like it feels weird. I don't want to spend $9 on a six pack of non-alcoholic beers.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a funny one. Well, not funny. It's strange. From Plant-Based News, a new milk that blends both cow and oat milk, they say, has sparked backlash online. It's called Smug Dairy, which is an interesting name. They say it gives you, the company says, it's giving you the goodness of dairy and plants. 30% less saturated fat than semi-skimmed milk. Lower carbon footprint, of course, because the oat milk would help with that. They say it's a win-win. You can have it all kinds of good buzz, catchy phrases in here that they'd like to use. I'm a little baffled as to why Plant-Based News posted this. Like, it just sounds like they're just sort of bitter that somebody did this. Because there's not really anything to the story. It's just that there's a backlash. But the backlash is small. Someone says, I'm baffled as to who it's being marketed at. Someone else says, why would anyone want this? And someone else wrote, just stop taking the breast milk of another species. It's so simple. Incredibly helpful to the conversation to add that in there.
Who is this market? Like, why would somebody? I understand if you were to take meat and like blend in a bunch of beans or something like that and make like a half meat, half bean burger. Like, to me, that makes a lot of sense. But why would you want half milk?
Isn't it the same thing? Isn't it exactly the same thing as that?
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, to me, I don't really get who buys the hybrid meat product or who would. I'm still unsure about that. This is the same category as that. Like, okay. But I'm not morally opposed to this because why would you ruin oat milk by adding some dairy in there? Like, I think to me, these kind of products, this kind of thinking, just like with the meat thing, although I don't know who's going to eat it, but like that idea of like, let's not try to get people to go vegan. Let's just get them to find ways of lessening their consumption. This fits in with that. And so if it tastes almost the same or better or whatever, I think it'd be great if people would eat this instead of the other one. So I'm always in favor of these things, the whole sort of flexitarian approach. So I think it's good, but I don't know. I guess vegans don't like it at all.
What I would be more interested to see is an oat milk that has like dairy fat in it or something like that, that makes it creamier or, somehow more like regular milk. Cause I think that people would then choose that more than just a half and half. I mean, I guess that's what they're trying to do. Just a little cheaper version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or less expensive.
Yeah. I could see that working. I mean, you could see people trying that,
but I mean, of course I would not buy that, just to be clear, but I could see that being a popular oat milk alternative.
Well, we'll probably see plant-based versions of that soon enough. Cause they'll be making the lab created or not lab, the precision fermented, dairy fat for sure. Like they're already doing exactly that.
Yeah.
So you start mixing it with oat milk. Suddenly you have a product that is less healthy than oat milk because it has some of the fats that aren't good from the dairy, but is still vegan. And I could see people doing that. I don't know. We'll see. This plant-based beverage space is a good one. It's working well. So because of that, I think it's good that a company would offer this hybrid thing and see if some people go for it. And if they don't, they won't. And then it'll go away. And that's fine. But I don't see like some awful crime being done by someone taking dairy milk and watering it down with oat milk. This is better than selling just dairy milk.
Yes.
Now, if it was Oatly and they just added all this dairy milk to the product, and I'd say, well, I don't know. That's a little bit of a different strategy. It still might be good for people. I don't know. So there you go. that's it. I think that's the whole, that's all the stories. That's what we got.
That's what we got.
We got, is no Mr. Jeffrey here today, huh? After each thing, I go back looking for what he is going to point out that I said wrong or something or make fun of, and there's nothing. It's strange without Mr. Jeffrey. Hmm. All right. People are saying non-alcoholic wine is terrible. That is true. And it's often more expensive than the real wine, a lot more. So that's double whammy. Really? Anne-Marie says, I had the Heineken, didn't like it, but never had the original. She likes the Athletic. And Harold Dahl says, as Rip says, milk is liquid meat. Did he say that to you, Doug, at your dinner?
Yeah, he looked me straight in the eye and said, you know, son, milk is liquid meat. No, you know, he didn't. But that doesn't surprise me that he said that.
That just means like what, as far as cruelty and poor nutrition goes?
Yeah, I imagine the same thing. Yeah. It's like.
Cruelty for sure. Well, it could be worse. I don't know about nutrition, though. All right. Okay, on to the promised negative plant-based meat content. We've got two articles up today. They're both taking different approaches than I've seen before, though. First one from foodnavigator.com. They are generally a neutral kind of site. They're not someone who hates vegan things like some of these sites do. And what they're saying, the question is, are plant-based meats low in protein? That's the headline. And it's a new study that we kind of just saw this from this other study that was comparing meat to plant-based meat and kind of has made the rounds on media, demonstrating that nutritionally they're very similar, but the media is calling out the elements, the parts where plant-based meat was worse, and there were a few of them. They are calling that out and saying plant-based diets may even be worse for you than a meat-based diet. So that's unfortunate. But anyway, this is a similar thing, and because that study also looked at the macronutrient composition of these. This one has found that some plant-based steaks and cold cuts are lacking in protein. They looked at sodium, protein, and something else. Oh, fat, salt, and protein content of each sample. They compared in Italy, they compared the vegan versions of ham, beef, cold cuts. They compared these vegan meats, plant-based steaks, to veal steaks, real veal steaks. And they compared the real cold cuts, ham and beef, to plant-based cold cut substitutes. And what they found was that in general, the plant-based meat products contained less protein and reduced amino acid content than the meat-based counterparts. Also, more carbohydrates instead of the protein. And then I don't think they mentioned, the plant-based things found less salt than the meat-based cold cuts. I don't see what the steak comparison for that one. But then they said, interestingly, plant-based steaks were found to be comparable to the veal samples in terms of essential amino acid content and digestibility. And they say it's a positive result, could mean that amending the formulations of the meat alternatives could provide comparable amino acid profiles. So that's kind of interesting that we've kind of said this protein digestibility score issue is a problem. Someone in the comments said it's not a big deal. It's really, it doesn't mean very much. So I don't know how that relates here, but it looks like they did look at digestibility and they said very little difference between plant-based and regular meat. So that's kind of a win, despite the fact that it's less protein. But I mean, I don't think we're too surprised with that. Like,
no, I keep asking myself why, if that matters,
right.
You know, if it matters that, let's say a Impossible Burger is 12 grams of protein compared to 19 grams from, from, you know,
I don't think the difference is that substantial. I don't know the numbers, but I'm guessing it's more like 15 to 19 or 17 to 19. Like, I think it's pretty close. I could be wrong about that, but I do still wonder, like, does it matter? Like, even if it were bigger, like the example you said, I think to certain people, like even certain omnivores who don't have a reason to be concerned about protein, they still think protein is king. Protein's the nutrient I need to get. I'm maximizing my protein throughout the day. And maybe they have a nutritionist or a weightlifting, whatever, coach, personal trainer who's telling them, here's how much protein you need, 1 gram per pound of body weight per day or whatever. And so it just depends on your philosophy there. If you think getting a lot more protein is important. I think most people who eat plant-based diets, most people that we are talking to, generally believe that most people get too much protein and that maybe we want to get a little more than we are getting just to kind of be on the safe side, but we don't need as much as a typical meat eater does. And if that's true, then, I mean, to me, it doesn't matter at all. I wouldn't care that my Impossible Burger has 15 instead of 19 grams of protein. Wouldn't make any difference.
Yeah. But even like not even looking at vegans, I would say your average person has no idea how much protein they're getting every day, right? Like, no clue would be my guess. Would you agree?
I mean, truly average person who, like, basically doesn't care about their health? Or, like...
I mean, you know, maybe somebody who... I don't know. I mean, if you polled your friends, you know, some of them might be runners. Some of them might be... I go to the gym a couple times a week. But, you know, they're certainly not counting macros every day, right?
That's true. An average person isn't. If they're a real fitness buff and they're an omnivore, I would say they're probably really focused on protein. Like, if they're into fitness, people just, that protein is what they go to when it comes to nutrition.
But plant-based meats aren't geared towards fitness buffs who are focused on protein, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, so I guess, like, the question is, you know, obviously they put, you know, 20 grams of protein on the front of the package. And, like, that, I guess it seems to be a selling point for people because they think that, you know, that matters. But, I just like health wise, you know, like your steaks don't have 20 grams of protein on the cover of them.
It's just different steaks would have different amounts. You're right.
It's just that the plant-based meats have to like kind of prove their worth, I guess. Maybe that's why they're doing it.
It's a very good point. Like you look like with the ground beef, there's like the was it 93% lean or 97%? There's the lean ground beef. And then there's the 80-20. Which is the whole very much fattier cut. No one's advertising on there X amount of protein per pound because that amount would go way down the 80-20 compared to the, you know, 95.
There you go.
And you're right. No one cares about the difference in protein there. That's just a burger's a burger for them. And in general, a burger is a protein food. I think the plant-based meats are going in the same category. They're still a protein food. Mm-hmm. And that protein is, according to this study, same quality. So yeah, I think you're right. It shouldn't matter.
But I guess for the fact that just because everybody seems to be throwing that number up on their packaging, it must matter, you know, when they tested it, I would think.
Yeah, that's a good point. It must. All right. So there's that one. The other one that's kind of fun. What kind of diner are you? 6 types of diners who avoid plant-based meat dishes. They did this from a study. They asked 647 Australians why they don't order plant-based meat dishes. And this was a real study. They received funding from ProVeg International. That's obviously a pro-vegetarian group. And I guess they're really trying to determine why those who don't get plant-based meat, why they don't. And so they give 6 types. They're pretty quick and interesting. So we can go through those quickly here. And we'll decide which type we are because we don't always order plant-based meat. All right, number 1, environmentally conscious plant-based meat eater. So this person who does eat the plant-based meat, they are environmentally conscious, but when they go out to eat, they want to avoid eating a product they don't like. So they just want to get traditional vegetable dishes. It sounds like they're sort of risk-averse types, and they're not going to go out and order the breaded chicken thing that is made out of seitan when they're at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. Kind of a boring person to me. If you're not willing to take a risk at a restaurant, then I don't really want to be your friend. It's just that simple. I mean, you got to try different stuff. Whether it's plant-based or not, you don't just go out to the restaurant and get the same thing you always get. Get something different.
Fair enough.
All right. Type 2, health-conscious plant-based meat supporter. So here they still like plant-based meat, but this is probably a lot of our crowd. They care about being fit and healthy. They prefer to, quote, just eat the vegetables they use to make the fake meat. So isn't that witty that they just, they're so enlightened that they just eat the vegetables that they use to make the fake meat. They think too much sodium, soy, fat, sugar, and GMI, genetically modified ingredients, in the food. I guess I'd kind of put myself in this group at home, but if I'm going out, I don't care about health. I sort of say, that's out the window because I don't go out very much. So,
yeah,
when I do, I'm just gonna eat whatever.
I'm the same way. I would put myself in this category at home. I support plant-based meat, and sometimes we'll do it, but for the most part, I don't eat it. But out, you know, if I'm gonna eat out, unless I'm like choosing like a Chopped or a salad restaurant or something like that, like I really don't care. And I'm gonna assume that the meal's probably not gonna be very healthy. It's probably gonna have a lot of oil. It's probably gonna have a lot of salt.
Yeah.
So might as well just eat a plant-based burger and do something different.
Yeah. So those two types of diners are, I think, in general, vegetarians and vegans, maybe not all, but if you're someone who orders vegetable dishes when you go out, chances are you are you know, very plant forward in your diet. The rest are not so much that. Type three is curious plant-based meat avoider. They typically order a meat dish and occasionally a vegetable option. They sit on the fence when it comes to plant-based meat. So they're curious, don't want to risk being disappointed. And they, this person said, one of their type three categorized diners said, if I were offered a sample, I'd be more inclined to try it, but the risk of being disappointed doesn't justify the cost. And I don't, are there a lot of those people? I just don't know. People who like typically eat meat and they go out to eat and they're like, they seriously consider the plant-based option. And if there was a sample, they might be swayed. I don't know people like that.
I do. I really do. Yeah. I think I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Almost everyone I know who eats any meat would consider it a waste of going out if they were to get a plant-based meat option. They'd be like, I didn't really eat the food at the restaurant because I ate this fake thing. But you do. Okay.
I was with somebody this weekend who I was surprised ordered a vegan burger. And it wasn't because of me, because the rest of her family didn't do that. And I didn't even order any food. We weren't like at a restaurant. We were at a brewery and they were into a thing. So yeah, I don't know.
Some people might do that for health reasons, right? Like they might say, I'm typically meat eater, but like I try to eat a little bit lighter and healthier during the day or when I'm at a brewery or whatever. And that's when I would get that thing instead. I could see that happening, I guess. All right, number four, the skeptical plant-based meat avoider. This is the order, like the previous one, they order more meat than vegetable dishes, but they believe meat alternatives are unhealthy because reading the back of the plant-based meat packages will typically reveal a plethora of chemicals. That was the words of one person. So they do not trust the technology. They don't support the idea of mimicking. They don't like the fake idea. And they don't like the naming it similar names, the steak or burger. They don't like calling stuff that. So this is sounding like a lot of people that I know who don't order plant-based meat. Mm-hmm. They just think they're just skeptical about the whole thing. Then you got the indifferent meat lover. This says they don't have any issues with it. They just wouldn't consider ordering it. They're fine with it. It's just not their thing. They're just kind of set in their ways. I picture an older person here who they're just not going to change how they eat, but they also are kind of open-minded and just don't, you know, they don't mind. They don't get upset that people are out there eating this stuff.
I'd say that's a lot of people that I know.
Younger people?
Yeah. Even younger people. I mean, they're like fine with it. You do you kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to bother with it.
You live in a place though, where I think there's a lot of those people. I think people are open-minded and like, you know, they don't care. Not that Charlotte is, well, it probably is different. I don't know a lot of people who are different. I just have a sense that like it's Asheville, Black Mountain there. That's an exceptional place as far as openness. And people are like, you know, yeah, you do you kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's an exceptional place in many regards, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Bad leadership though in Black Mountain. Bad town council.
Hey.
We need sweeping changes this next election cycle. Everybody out.
Everybody up.
All right. Type six. Finally, this is the last one. The critical meat lover. This is, this is the social media one.
Right.
And that's interesting, right? This is the most extreme one. I wish they put numbers on here and like said how many of the people were this. Maybe they did somewhere and I didn't look that deep because I didn't think about it then. No, I don't see that. But like, I would love to know how many people are this, because this, when I think people who aren't vegan, I think they're all this. And obviously they're not, right? Obviously there's a whole lot of people who are in the middle somewhere, these other people, these other types we've said, but it's just, these are the loudest. These are the ones you hear. And that's what social media does. It amplifies these, the most extreme. And it probably also amplifies on the vegans. Everyone thinks vegans are crazy nut jobs. When a lot of us are, you know, kind of normal, rational. Anyway, they dislike everything about plant-based meat. They don't understand why anyone would replace meat with a plant-based alternative, nor why it is important. Several times I've eaten this garbage, ... and thoroughly regretted it, says one of the people. This sounds like someone in our audience. He's not chiming in, but he was here earlier.
Yep.
Anyway, this is the carnivore dieter, and this is the politicized version too, where like any mention of plant-based meat is you know, an assault to your freedom and stuff. And it's, I don't know, it's just, it's unfortunate that like that's how stuff on both sides that it's that divided. But Anyway, they go on to point out different ways that restaurants can promote plant-based meat differences, because I think restaurants have a real problem. We hear all the time about vegan restaurants that are starting to offer meat dishes or closing. And it just seems like when people go out, they just don't want to eat plant-based meat. They're saying you can hand out free samples. You could serve plant-based meat by default, like a Brisbane pub has done. I think I remember reading about that one. You can describe plant-based meat with indulgent words and avoid using unappealing language such as the word vegan. Yesterday, we saw even the word plant-based should be avoided, and just tell people that this is eco-friendly or this is, you know, good for you or whatever. Provide health information to overcome the belief that meat alternatives are unhealthier than meat. I don't know if that's the restaurant menu time is the time to try to sway somebody's health beliefs, but
no.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. If you run a restaurant, you can do what you want. And finally, integrate plant-based meat dishes into the full menu rather than listing them in a separate vegetarian section. Could be good, but then vegans don't like that as much.
Yeah, I love it when there's a separate vegetarian section. What about, all right, so the samples. Let's talk about samples real quick. When was the last time you had a restaurant that handed out samples outside of like a mall food court?
Yeah, that's the one place. Starbucks has samples often there.
Okay.
That, like, the Oleato thing is there on sample all the time, the one I go to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because I think no one gets it. I think people just don't consider it, and maybe they have to be swayed. Yeah, you don't really see much of this. Like, if we go get ice cream somewhere, they're always willing to give out a sample taste.
That's a little different.
Yeah. But no, it's usually, what, bourbon chicken at the mall? That's where you go get a sample of stuff. Man, that stuff used to be so good. That bourbon chicken. Every time I tasted that, I would then have to go get it.
Have to go get some.
Yeah, and it would always be too much. Like, the little sample was tantalizing, but the whole plate of it was always just didn't want all that. Yeah. What about the bourbon chicken plant-based restaurant? That recipe. I need to find one of those. Anyway. Do you know about these restaurant samples?
No, I don't. But I can also see, you know, sometimes, if a restaurant's bringing out like a loaf of bread or something like that, they might just bring a little like thing for you to munch on. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you could have like a
mousse bouche type thing.
An mousse bouche of vegan meat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like it's just, well, I don't know. I guess, like, why does a restaurant care what people order? I mean, maybe it's better profit for them for certain things. Right. Or maybe they really do care about sustainability and they just want people to order more of this stuff. But if I'm a restaurant, I'm not trying to get people to change what they order. I just want to make more of the thing they want.
Right, right.
I guess that would be an effective thing. If you offered free little mousse bouche, everybody walks in on a certain day of the week, it's a different thing. And some of the days it's plant-based meat. And people say, wow, that's really good. What is that? And then you say, oh, we have a whole entree of that thing. It's this. I mean, it might work.
Yeah, I could see
it's
that.
Odd. You don't ever see samples in restaurants. Like, it's a strange kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't. It's not like when you walk in and like, hey, try this thing before you order. This is what we're pushing tonight. They should do that. If you, like, whatever the specials are, they should have a little cube of it. Everybody gets to try.
What if you could? Oh yeah, that'd be interesting. What if you could, just like an ice cream shop? You know, you could be like, I would love to try the lasagna and the tacos. Could you give me a? And they bring you out a little tiny bite.
And they can just make like one of those dishes of each dish and have it there for samples all night. And you recognize it's going to be a little colder or not quite as fresh when you get the sample. Uh-huh. Yeah, it'd be good.
It'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it would.
Limit 2 samples per person.
Yeah. Yeah, like at a bar, you taste the beers you want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
I like it. We should start a restaurant.
We should.
Well, I think the plant-based product that isn't trying to be a plant-based meat. It's just a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has potential. That, I mean, I don't know. It could be a thing. I guess tofu is kind of like that, right? It's its own thing.
Yeah, that's what I said. Tofu or even seitan, like a block of seitan is kind of like that.
Yeah, you make like a firmer tofu, like a seitan, but you make it better. Somehow you make it better and you don't call it meat. And
yeah,
you find ways to put it in places that meat doesn't usually go, which I can't think of any. That's the thing. But I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe you can avoid a lot of the political stuff if you have that. If you're not trying to fake that this is a steak or something, you just have a thing that's plant-based and you can get it. I don't know. Not a terrible idea. That could be in our restaurant.
Yeah, we'll give out samples.
I think Plant House is the last time we wanted to make a restaurant. We're going to call it that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, good. Well, we've gone a little long. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. People have stopped commenting after, well, someone did 10 minutes ago. Someone said it works at Costco. Oh, the sample's at Costco. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. That was our first comment after an 18-minute silent streak, though, between Yikes. That one and Matt O'Connor.
Quiet crew tonight.
I thought everyone was going to be chiming in saying, hey, I'm type number 3, I'm type number 2, all that stuff. But no one said what type of person they were. But that's okay. No problem. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening, everyone. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. Probably a Best Life Online article. Actually, I have one I set aside for tomorrow already. So
all right.
Something more substantial than Best Life Online. But we'll see what else there is. All right. That's it. Have a good Wednesday. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you then.
Okay.